Thank you so much, Brother Lo. The wonderful, beautiful music about lilies. Praise be to the Lord. I was watching the Sabbath School Spotlight and said, wow, it's really cold out there in my home country. It's really cold. What a privilege for us to live in paradise. And in Paradise Park to preach here for the God's glory. Yes, it's quite easy to do it in the distance. But honestly, it's really encouraging me and reminding me how should personally I react toward my own people and give more willingly donations to help them, to build the church, to reach those people and bring them closer into the relationship with the Lord. Because we have so many privileges here. Honestly, we do have. For example, we have a Christian TV channels. We have free ABN easily here in America. Besides this, in our days, you can even right now listen Sabbath School lesson right in your cell phones. Besides this, you can read it. They have apps right now in a cell phone. You can just read simply the Sabbath School lesson. It means Seventh-day Adventists and the Sabbath School lesson are well popular and people are reading it and enjoying it. Praise be to the Lord for that. Besides this, we have a radio, even locally here, KCIF radio station. Even it's non-denominational, but we as a Seventh-day Adventist, we can participate. And recently, Bill Church called me and he said, Pastor, they made me a member of the board. Now he's on the board over there. He said, we have opportunity to spread more about Jesus and talk more about the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful message. With all these privileges, I'm wondering why we are all still questioning our happiness and our assurance and our joy, which we can still easily receive if we will have a really nice and clear relationship with the Lord. But so often that people are discouraged here, even in America, even in Hawaii. People are looking hopeless. People are not looking forward to enjoy anything in the future simply because they don't have this hope which you and I have. Praise be to the Lord what we have this hope. Because in spite of all what the man does, in spite of all what Satan and all the evil that he producing for all of us, we can see Jesus. We can see his great service and preaching to all of us through the nature. Besides this, Jesus is talking to us. Jesus is talking to us through his word, and we can hear his voice, and we can read his last will. And this is the title of our sermon for today, The Last Will of Jesus. There comes a time in everyone's life when we should make a will or decision. And usually, we don't like to consider the thought of dying. We want to stay alive. We're not thinking about to make a will. But Jesus wanted to share with his disciples the final words. And this is what he said in the book of Matthew, in the last chapter. All authority in heaven and the earth has been given unto me. He said, okay, this is my final words. All authority has been given unto me, therefore, go. What he's doing with his disciples? He's sending them on a mission. It's his final will. Go. And make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even into the end of the age. I am with you always. It's quite interesting to notice what in the book of Matthew, Jesus is not ascending up to heaven. He's still remaining with us. If you have only one book of Matthew, Jesus is always with you. This is, you see, according to what the Bible is presenting to us. And all the Jews, and then they read and reread again and again the book of Matthew, we really enjoy to see what Jesus is remaining with us here through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm sure everybody could say, it will be nice really to touch Jesus, to see him personally, to listen to his sermon, and to enjoy fellowship with Jesus. Yes, it was more than 2,000 years ago, but try to think about this and try to simply to imagine if you will be only one of his disciples, or maybe it could be a number or the crowd over there, one of the people, what will it make as a difference in your life if you would personally see Jesus? Have you ever considered that actual fact? Well, there is no photo of Jesus in our days. No actual photo, picture of Jesus. Even the Gospels, which we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are not the actual picture of Jesus. It's a characteristic reference from the different four perspectives. And they're showing us the character of the Lord Jesus Christ for the special reason, to show you who is your maker and who is your creator. I remember when we were moving out of Wisconsin and Hawaii Conference called us, we were invited to go to San Jose, and we've been told that we're going to fly from San Jose to Honolulu. Okay, we were crossing the whole entire United States and our cars. My wife, she was just received a license recently, and now we went to the trip for the whole America. And we stopped, actually, I remember, in the state of Utah. And as we stopped over there in Salt Lake City, we were invited by the people, because I introduced myself over there in a hotel, what I'm a Seventh-day Adventist and I'm a pastor, we are moving to Hawaii. They told me, you know, we have a great temple over here. You need to go and visit. I said, a temple? You have a temple here? We had no idea about the temple. We went, great temple. But they not let us in. And I asked permission. They said, no, you can't go inside. I said, why? No, they said, no, it's only for those special people. You know, you are special for the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. Yeah, they not let us in inside over there, but they showed us another building. Nice, great. And as we went over there, huge big hall. We just entered and we just simply shocked and amazed. And the whole entire wall, more than 40 feet, should I say, a great picture of Jesus, of his disciples. Jesus is sitting on sitting with his disciples on a kind of hilly side, and he was preaching to his students. It was an amazing, beautiful picture. And I was watching this picture and wandering around. I told the tour guide, it's really a great artist who painted this. It's really amazing work. I said, yeah, I can tell you a little bit more. You know, he said, come here on this side in the corner. As we came with my wife over there in the corner, he said, look at Jesus. Jesus was still looking at us. He was turning his head and his feet directly to us, because that was pictures and amazing. Yeah, because Jesus was looking at us. And as we were passing by that picture, his face and actual just feet moving with us. It's amazing. And I said, wow, this is a masterpiece. It's just amazing. I said, yeah, but unfortunately the artist was not from the Mormon church. Actually, he was SDA. I said, wow, what is SDA? And he started to preach to me. He said, you know, it's a Seventh-day Adventist. And they keep the Sabbath. And the tour guide was preaching to me, honestly, and he was sharing about what his name is, Harry Anderson. And we hired him, and he painted this picture. Said, oh, Lord, thank you. You have great people everywhere. Even for this picture, you're preaching about the marvelous and the great work of Jesus, how he can use his people in an amazing way. But actually, we know what we can see Jesus much more deeply through their Gospels. And we can see even his race, what he was a Semitic person. Yes, he was quite a maybe dark-haired. And even now we know in our days, many movies we have about Hollywood. If you'll just Google the name of Jesus, hundreds of pictures will come out with a different facial expression about Jesus. And so often what I'm kind of noticing, all those pictures, quite a few of them, with the blue, great, big eyes. Jesus with the blue eyes. What do you think? Could it be what Jesus was with the blue eyes? Yeah, with the blue eyes, he would be quite a noticeably different from the whole entire crowd. So he was dark-complected, had maybe the dark eyes, or either the brown or black. And we know what, at least, he grew up over there in a culture, in an environment, in the Middle East. Yeah, the sun was burning so hot over there, and it's bakes everything through the cloudless sky. And at least he was dark-complected and dark eyes, and they were not wearing glasses in those days. It means maybe he had some features right over here on his facial expression. But so far, I just wanted for you to see Jesus here. Remember how many times Jesus turned and looked at the people and said something to them. It's amazing how you can see his eyes through the scripture. When it says in the Bible how Jesus looked and after that said, just by looking at somebody, oh, he made such a huge impact. You see, then Jesus turned and looked. Things happen. Man goes one way, turn around, and then the other direction. Why? Because Jesus looked at them. Think about your eyes, which God gave it to you. How are you using your eyes as a gift from the Lord? My wife is providing care for the elderly lady, and she have a hard time to see. She's hardly seeing anything. But so far, it's amazing how you can see how she's expecting and expressing her life and how she's actually receiving everything in this world simply only through her ears. She can hear anything. She can hear who is walking in our house and everything easily by how we are walking. It's amazing how your senses are switching to another direction. But here we can see the eyes of Jesus, the same eyes, full of tears, when he approached Lazarus and his family while he was staying by the tomb of Lazarus. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, according to the English version, John 11:35. Jesus wept. Those eyes, they were full of tears, because he looked at the whole entire population of this earth, that, wow, these people are living without hope, but I'm the life, and I'm bringing you joy and assurance and hope. The Bible says what he was quite a rugged and outdoor person. According to the book of Matthew 8:20, and Luke 9, it says, Jesus said these words, "The birds of the air had their nest, the foxes had their holes, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head." It means he was associating himself with the homeless. Oh, Jesus, it's amazing how what is a characteristic reference here about Jesus. Recently, I was talking to one of the homeless person, and he corrected me. He said, no, I'm not a homeless. I'm a houseless. I said, wow, nice. Yes, depends how you put this. Yeah, he said, no, I'm just simply houseless. I do have my friends. I do have my society, my community, my place where I'm enjoying myself. Praise the Lord. But in the same time, how often we are considering with our house, this is our comfort zone. Everything what we are bringing in the house, we are so often so stuffed with everything. I recently helped one of the church members to move. They spent in their house more than 50 years. It's just amazing what you can accumulate in the 50 years. Simply amazing. Even regardless if you're a Seventh-day Adventist or a Baptist or whoever you are, it's just amazing. We're human beings, and we are all falling short. It's always will be nice for us to think about what the Lord is allowed for us to experience. As we can see at Jesus once again, dark eyes, those eyes really looked at people and helped people to change their direction. And now we can see what he was bronzed by the wind over there because it was a really hot sunshine over there in the Middle East. And as we're looking down at the characteristic reference, we can see easily what he had, quite a heavy and a strong hands. My boys, they love right now in their age to do some exercise, to do some activities, to do some, and they're always calling me, "Daddy, let's come and join us. How many times you can push up? How many, what you can do?" And we have a little competition, so once in a while at least, yeah. But so far, it's really an amazing time when you can see your teenagers, how they're growing, how right now they're putting so much emphasis on their physical strength. 2004, I was in Bulgaria doing an evangelistic program. Usually after the program, I was standing by the door and greeting the people, greeting all the people who are coming out. One of the elderly lady, over 8 years of age, she came to me, shake my hand, and after that, touch my hands, "Oh, wow." I said, "What?" She said, "It's an American hand." said, no, I was not even American at that. But it seems like you are not working, she said. I said, yes, you're right. But then Jesus, when he was young, he was working so hard in the carpenter shop. He was working so hard. And this is once in a while, it's really reminding me that particular illustration and story which I shared with you. It's reminding me a lot. Help your wife. Do some homework. Do some heavy work. Let your hands be a little bit stronger. Do it for the God's glory. Don't only do it everything in your mind. Use all your body for the God's glory. God entrusted into your hands what he envisioning about you. Yes, and actually, what about his voice? If I will tell you a few words about his voice, it's amazing. You remember the story how Jesus fed the 5,000 people right on the top of the hill. He was preaching over there. All those people were listening to the great baritone voice that Jesus was preaching to them. No microphones, no megaphones, nothing. And Jesus was preaching in a powerful way. And I'm wondering, in our days, can you hear the voice of Jesus? Can you hear the voice of Jesus? Yes, you can. Isaiah is promising to you. According to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21, it says so clear. For some of you, I really would like to underline in your Bibles. Remember this verse. Isaiah 30, 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Thank you, Lord. Because our Jesus, he is willing to talk to you today. If you will tune your ears and listen. In our days, we are so busy with everything that is bombarding our attention. And we have no time to listen to the Lord. Please tune your ears, your spiritual ears, and listen to the Lord. And this is what he is saying as a continuation. This is we can hear his voice. This is what he's saying. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden. From the Pune area, Kiao area, from the Kyrgyzstan area, from the Hilo area, please come to me, all who are heavy laden, who is working so hard, who is having calloused hands. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. When I read this verse, I said, thank you, Lord, because your hands are quite gentle too. Even the mothers, they brought their little children and they gave it in the hands to Jesus, their children, and Jesus touched them and blessed them. He was so gentle because it's amazing. Gentle Jesus. And at the same time, as we're singing this song, we should remember what he's telling you and me, as you will find Jesus, you'll find rest for your souls because my yoke is easy, he's saying, and my burden is light. Jesus also had a remarkable attitude toward the people. So often it's so hard to be a remarkable person when somebody is disturbing you during the night or very early in the morning. Last night we had a Bible study in our home, and I asked my boys, they wanted to have some joyful moments on Friday evening. I said, okay, call your friends, invite them, let's do the Bible study. And they called, 25 people showed up. I said, great, wow. It was an amazing class, and we had a little fellowship. We enjoyed the Bible study. It was just unexpectedly. At the same time, it's wonderful to see how our young children are participating, and then you involving them into a real Bible study. And it's always amazing to see how they are sharing their faith in Jesus. But when I'm talking about a remarkable personality and his attitude toward the people about Jesus when we're talking, we need to remember what Jesus always approached the lower society people and raised them up. Always. Recently, we talked about Zacchaeus. Remember the story? Yes. Jesus helped him to jump out of the tree and went to his house and visit him. We can easily talk about many other illustrations in the Bible. As we were singing song today, Fill My Cup, O Lord, that song is beginning right about that Mary. How she asked Jesus, could you fill my cup? I don't want to be thirsty anymore. I would like to be with you always. It's amazing when we can see character of Jesus. But also Jesus saw evil where society didn't believe it exists. People who were highly respected in society, pillars of the church, they paid their taxes regularly. They came to the church on a regular basis. They were early in the church. They prayed in the streets, corners, as well at the prayer meetings, and Jesus said something amazing about them. Whitewashed gravestones, nice and pretty on the outside, but inside they're rotten with death. Question yourself, if the Jesus is question here, and test your heart. Maybe we are really nice looking just simply outside, but what about our heart? What about our mind? Today I would like to look at Jesus. What Jesus has a tremendous courage to make his final decision before he went to the old rugged cross. Prior before that, just a week before, when he was in Jerusalem, he went to the temple and used his physical strength to kick out all those sellers out of the temple. And he showed his physical ability. But after that, Jesus showed to Satan and to the whole entire universe what he came to this world for, the special reason and a purpose. It's the height of the physical courage of Jesus was going when he came to Jerusalem to die on the cross. He didn't have to die. And I can repeat this again. He did not have to die. He was way up and near the Lebanon over there, ministering to the thousands of people. But he told his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem to die. And at that moment, Peter rebuked him, be it far from thee, Lord, according to Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. It's quite interesting how Sister White is explaining this particular sentence. When Jesus was talking to Peter, he was actually not directly looking and watching at Peter's eyes and looking at Peter. He was directly talking to Satan. And Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan, because you are right now accusing and confusing my son here, Peter. It's amazing. Jesus could have said, look, these people, they really need me. I need to go and help them. Jesus could be alive for a long, long time. And we could have read about him, about like Buddha or Muhammad. But we know what Jesus made a great decision about when he stepped into the road, right when he left Tyre and Sidon and nearly Lebanon, right on the border over there, Jesus made his final decision. When he arrived to Jerusalem on that Passover Palm weekend, he still had one more week to make his decision. And he was waiting for the final night and final day when he will die for you and me. About 5 years ago, I was in Jerusalem, had the privilege to be over there, and our tour guide brought us to the fork in the road. Said, guys, right over here, Jesus made his decision. He could have go this direction or to the right or to the left. The one on the left goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and to the Mount of Olives. The one to the right goes to the hill, to the Bethany. Jesus could have easily turned to the right and went to Bethany instead of to the Mount of Olives. All Jesus had to do that night when he came to the fork was to turn right and to keep on going. We have never touched him. Instead of that, he deliberately went, made decision and sacrificed himself for you and me. It's quite interesting to see what's happened at that final night according to the Gospel of John chapter 13. I would like to invite my young people here from the Sabbath school class. It will be Michael, it will be Geneva, Daniel, Nanir, Benjamin, Jennifer, and Vasily. Let's read this from the scripture right now. We are going to read from the Gospel of John chapter 13. We will read verses from 1 through 30, the whole entire story. And we will, after this, participate and share the same. Let's face the crowd here. Let's face the whole congregation. We will use the microphone. We have a mic right here. Is it working? Yes, Daniel, please. Okay, we know the order. We will start from John chapter 13, verse 1. Mikey, you can start, please. And as we will read the scripture, it's so nice to see what the young people are participating in the worship service here. Yes, please. Yeah, John chapter 15, it's a unique chapter in the whole entire Bible. When we are talking about communion, please remember it's always there in John chapter 15. It's only one chapter in the whole entire Bible where John is writing what Jesus did to his disciples and how he's showing example to us. Yes, please.
Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart from this world into the Father, having loved his own which in the world he had loved them into the end. Yeah. And supper being ended, that the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas in Iscariot, Simon's son, into betray of him. Jesus, yeah, knowing that the Father had given all the things into his hands, and went that he was come from God, and he went on to God. Then he rises from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then,
thank you.
Then cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do now, knowest not now, that thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hand and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean every bit, and we are clean, but not all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither that he is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, that he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me.
Yes, thank you.
When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples look one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter, therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it?
Jesus answered, He it is, to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night.
Thank you. The last will of Jesus, we can see right here. When he had left, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is seen for who he is, and God seen for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display. It's glorifying him. He himself is glorified. Glory all around. Children, and I am with you for only a short time longer. You are going to look high and low for me. But just as I told the Jews, I am telling you, where I go, you are not able to come. And listen to this. Let me give you a new commandment. Love one another. The final words of Jesus. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples when you see the love you have for each other. Thank you, boys and girls. Thank you. I appreciate it. Friends, Jesus is inviting us to fulfill his last words. He would like for us to put this in practice. Maybe we all have to wake up once again and to see what was the real blood of Jesus. It was the real body of Jesus which suffered for you and me. But prior, Jesus showed them the last and the final of his will. Please love one another and put your love in practice. Let's participate to the food washing service right now.